For the Patent and Trademark Office, the quality of the patents it issues have become a front and center concern. As part of the Quality Improvement Program, PTO just launched a test initiative to give rejected patent applicants a chance to talk directly to the examiner. It's called P3 for Post-Prosecution Pilot. Joining me with how the program works, Drew Hirschfeld, the PTO's Commissioner for Patents. Mr. Hirschfeld, great to have you on.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So let's get to the name first, Post-Prosecution Pilot. That could mean a lot of things in different contexts. Why those words?
What it means here is prosecution is technically closed by the examiner when there's a final rejection. And the post-prosecution pilot is a pilot program that would address the after-final time to really foster conversation with the examiner.
And what was in place before this P3 program?
So we have a number of programs that are in place after final. A typical route could be that somebody goes right to appeal, and that would be to our Patent Trial and Appeal Board. We do have some programs that we've had in place to try to minimize the cases that go to appeal. In other words, only let the ones go to appeal that really should go to appeal. And if there's a case that can be and should be allowable, we want to, of course, allow that. So the programs we've had in place include one of them is what we've called an after final consideration pilot, which is a pilot program which gives the applicant the ability to meet with the examiner. We also have another program in place where we have an in-house, sort of an internal to USPTO pre-appeal conference so that we at PTO are checking to see if an application is ripe for appeal. What we've done in this post-prosecution pilot is combine the best of the two to try to make something that's even better and really fosters that most effective discussion possible.
What problems did you encounter with the previous two post-prosecution style arrangements?
So what we heard from our stakeholders, we had a number of public meetings on this as well as other discussions about patent quality. And one thing we've heard about after final is our applicants really liked the ability to meet with the examiner and have a discussion. And that would be similar to what we did in one of the pilots. They also liked the idea that we brought in other people, other senior examiners, or even supervisors to have a conference, and that was from a different one of the programs I spoke about previously, and they really wanted us to try to see if we can put these together and really, again, as I've mentioned, foster a discussion. So what we've done is we've pulled together the best of both worlds. We let the applicants come in. They can have a presentation. We have a neutral third party who's present there, and we will give as much information to the applicant and share as much information back and forth as possible.
So you almost could have called it PAP for pre-appeal process. Possibly.
It certainly could be. It is a pre-appeal process. The idea is to make sure that if there's something that is potentially allowable, that we can do that. The patent process is very complicated, as I know you well know, and if we can foster a discussion between the applicant and the examiner and even get a fresh look from a neutral PTO third party, we can really see if we can reach an agreement for those applications. There should be an agreement.
And I guess an implication I'm drawing from this, and you can tell me if I'm correct, is that appeal is slow and expensive.
Well, of course, appeal takes a number of years, and I give our PTAB, our board, lots of credit. They're working down that time that it takes, but it is certainly expensive and does take time. And the idea behind this pilot program is if we can reach an agreement early and have a patent that issues, everyone's better off. I'm assuming that's the right decision for us to make. And if we get to the decision that we can't issue this, of course, the applicant would still be going to that appeal route, which is still available to them.
And during the process of the initial evaluation of an application, is it common or possible for the applicant to talk with the examiner during that process, or what if the examiner has a question?
It is very common for the examiner and the applicants to talk, and through the last many years, we've been trying to push as many conversations as possible, because the more, as I said, this is a very complicated process, And oftentimes the examiner and the applicant are simply interpreting the same words differently, and if they could sit down and talk to each other and at least understand each other, they can find a viable route forward. So we always push conversation and interviews, and this after final is a way to, this after final program is a way to add an interview at a critical time where the applicant's going to have to make a critical decision about their next steps.
We're speaking with Drew Hirschfeld. He's the Commissioner for Patents at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So basically, the question then becomes, what new could an applicant say that might change the mind of the examiner?
Well, it's hard to answer that because it really depends on the case and the specific fact pattern that we have. But they could be discussing whether an examiner's interpretation of any of a limitation of a claim is proper. They could be discussing if there's additional limitations that could be added. It really could be anything that could help the case move forward.
Is there any data or metrics from years of appeals that would indicate the types of things that could happen in post-prosecution pilot that would avoid appeals and give everybody an outcome that they're at least maybe not happy with but can live with?
There is. It's actually interesting you raised that. It presents a unique challenge because the number of cases that actually go to appeal is a very, very small subset of the applications that we have overall, but we do filter those back to the examiners for a learning experience. And if I may digress a little bit, you mentioned a very interesting point about using our appeal data to make us better. And we've also, as part of our quality look, started another initiative where we are doing exactly what you suggested. And so we're now filtering back some of our trial information. So when we have a case at the PTAB, we will, and there's a related case in front of the examiner, we now filter that information to the examiner so they have the best art in front of them, the best prior art. They have all the information that they need to make the most effective decision possible.
And how likely or how amenable do you think examiners tend to be to changing their minds post-initial decision?
Well, I think examiners want to get it right. And so if they feel that you know, they are shown that either they did not interpret something quickly or they did not make a decision that was proper, they will certainly change it. Similarly, if they feel that there's a way that a conversation could take place so that they can make additional changes to a patent claim to make it allowable, they would definitely support that.
And give us some of the facts here. When was P3 launched? Do you have any track record yet? And how long do you plan to run it before it becomes a permanent part of the patent process?
P3 was launched on July 11th, and we currently have just under 100 participants. Which I think is a great number. It's a start, and usually things are slow to pick up with our pilot programs. And I will tell you, we actually had somebody who joined on the first day. So the Federal Register notice came out and somebody joined that day. So I know the public is as excited about this as I am. So we don't have too many stats yet because it's very new, but again, 93 participants.
And you'll run it, at some point will you decide, yes, let's make this permanent or forget about it?
We're going to take a total of 1,600 different requests to join, and then we will reevaluate at the end of that time what is the right next step. And I will say that we currently also are still offering the two programs that I mentioned earlier. To me, the idea would be to see if this is an improvement, and I think it will be an improvement. And then at that point, we can really decide what the most effective way forward is.
And of the 100 people that have chosen to join in here, these are people that I presume are rejected applicants. Is there any characterization of the industry they come from? That is to say, is it mostly high tech? Is it mostly mechanical or chemical, or can you tell yet?
Right now, the numbers, they're still, as I said, small, but they range from, I believe it's only about a handful, so about 5 in one of the technology centers, all the way up to somewhere around 20. So they're almost balanced, with maybe one TC being a little bit less than the others.
We'll have to see how that goes. I think I'd be interested in following up in a few months. Drew Hirschfeld is the PTO's Commissioner for Patents. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Read more about the post-prosecution pilot program and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.